I will never forget that cup of coffee.
Well, a couple years ago, I was traveling when my schedule worked out on Christmas Eve. I thought the airport was going to be a zoo, so I got there a couple hours early. It wasn't. It wasn't crowded at all. So for me, that means coffee. So I get down into my terminal, Terminal D, and I see the green sign. And when I travel these days, I always wear earbuds, you know, so I'm rocking out to Coldplay. And I see the sign, I get in line, and there's one woman in front of me. And she's having a very animated conversation with the barista. She's kind of waving her arms, and they're both smiling and laughing. So I wasn't in a rush, but out of curiosity, I popped out my earbuds. And sure enough, you know, they're going on about their holidays and their plans and the kids and presents. And she starts to move down the line. So it's my turn to order. And I was greeted with this very warm and sincere welcome. This woman said to me, "Hi, my name's Lily. What's your name?" I said, "I'm Ryan." She said, "Ryan, what can I make for you today?" I said, "Well, I want a grande pumpkin spice latte." She said, "You want whipped cream on that, don't you?" I said, yeah, I want the whipped cream. She said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do." She said, "I'm going to make it extra hot, load it up with whipped cream, sprinkle a little nutmeg on top. That's how I like it. You're going to love it." I said, "Sounds great." She said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Cleveland." She said, "Are you going back to Cleveland to spend the holiday with your family?" I said, "Yes." Now, at this point, I start looking around for the camera, right? I mean, I'm trying to get a latte. So I move down the line. And the conversation continues, and she's funny. She's asking me questions about my family and our holiday traditions. She's laughing, and I'm laughing, and she hands me my drink and says to me, "Ryan, have a safe trip back to Cleveland. Go create some extraordinary memories with your family. When you come back through the Minneapolis airport, I want you to stop here and tell me all about it." There's that. I get my drink, I start walking away, and I stop and I look back at this woman, and I think to myself, you know, it's Christmas Eve. Most people would rather be anywhere else in the world than serving coffee in an airport. Not her. It was like she was meant to be there. And I couldn't help myself. I had to go back. So I did. I walked back and I said, "Excuse me, Lily." And, you know, she jumps around. "Ryan, is everything okay with the latte?" I said, "No." I said, "The latte is perfect. I just had to come back and ask you, what is your secret to making such meaningful connections over serving coffee?" Well, she corrected me. She said, "Ryan, I'm not serving coffee." I said, "Okay, what are you doing?" She had thought about this. What she told me was, "I'm pouring happiness into people's lives." I said, "You're pouring what? Like, what is pouring happiness?" And her definition of pouring happiness: she wants to be happy in her life. She wants to be around happy people. She cares about her customers. She wants them to come back. So she chooses, even on Christmas Eve, to smile, to have fun, to help people, to just be happy. Instead of just focusing on how to be successful, focus on how to be helpful. The other thing she understands and masters straight away is the very specific and intentional decision around how she chooses to show up, even on Christmas Eve. You know this. A lot of things happen in work and in our lives that are beyond our sphere of influence or control. She doesn't control the weather in Minneapolis. Trust me, I live there. All she gets to own is how she chooses to respond to those things. Decide how you show up. You know, it's interesting. When I met Lily, and she would have had no way of knowing this, but I was pretty heavy in the heart and had a lot on my mind. And my parents, both retired school teachers, married 45 years. About 3 months before that holiday, I got a call from Mom. We got some really tough medical news about Dad. Was a terminal diagnosis, and we knew we probably weren't going to have a lot of time. So I was sitting in that airport on Christmas Eve, not in the best place in the world. I will never forget that cup of coffee. When you decide to show up consistently as the best version of who you are, it gives you your best opportunity to meet people where they are. And you never know when someone needs you to be your best.
Good morning. She says she pours happiness. If you know me, I love a good cup of coffee. And when I saw this, I was like, this is it. I've shared this actually with a lot of different people. This is probably one of my most favorite videos. And excuse me, I'm still getting over a little bit of stuff here. But I've shared this in the classroom. I've shared this with sports teams. I've shared this with friends and with family. And this video helps people all in a little bit of a different way. Now, you notice he never mentioned Christ in any of this video, but we're going to show you how we can use that in that way. One of the lines I like towards the end was when Ryan said, "I will never forget that cup of coffee." And if you're a coffee connoisseur, you know there are certain cups of coffee you won't forget, and there's cups of coffee that you will forget. All right. Then he said, when you decide to show up as the best person of who you are, it gives you the best opportunity to meet them where they are. You never know when someone needs you to be your best. How insightful. You never know when someone needs you to be your best. Let's let that soak in, and we'll bow our heads right now and just pray. Lord, thank you for everything that you've brought here to worship today, everyone that you've brought here. And we pray for safe travels for those who are attending the Follow Conference. We pray that the conference will have a positive kingdom impact for all of those who are attending. I'm grateful that you have allowed me to be here today to share the word. I pray that you will send the Holy Spirit down to guide me and give me the words that you want me to share today. May you open the hearts, ears, and minds of all those who will hear the word. In Jesus' name we pray. All right. So, if you ever heard any of my sermons, you know they usually last between 45 and an hour, minutes and an hour and a half. So just, you know, settle down. If you need some coffee, we've got it out back. I'm just kidding. Today we're going to be doing a reading in Matthew 5, 13 through 16. And while you are opening up your Bible or pulling out your cell phone to look it up, we'll also have it up here on the screen. I just wanted to wish you guys a belated Merry Christmas. And I know that most of you, I hope, enjoyed your Christmas. I know we did. But we want to also welcome those people who don't normally come to our church or who have come back home for the holidays. I know that, I don't know about you guys, but I'm kind of enjoying a couple weeks off and just kind of relaxing and visiting with people. And I know there's other people who are taking this time to get caught up on some projects. Well, after today, I got to start getting caught up on my projects. So I understand where you guys are all coming from, but whatever you're doing on this holiday, I pray that it'll be fruitful. Let's go ahead and open up today with Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. And as you can see it up there on the screen, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now in this passage, it tells us that the preaching the gospel to people means that you're taking them out of darkness, which is synonymous. I think I might stick to small words. Synonymous with taking them out of what was mentioned in Mark 16:15, and that's where he sent them out. By telling others about Jesus, we are introducing them to a source of light and to the one who can make them become light too. God is love, and God is light. If we have been made light, then it means that we must have the nature of God in us. That is, we must do good to people and do it in a way that we glorify God alone. It's not to glorify ourselves, it's to glorify God. In our video, Ryan told us that we never know when someone is going to need our best, when they're going to want us to be our best. In other words, we don't just know what others are thinking or what their needs are. For example, you may be looking at someone as they're walking towards you. They have a blank, stare on their face, or just an unwanted look. How you greet them as they pass may have a big effect. More of an effect than you could possibly know. For example, let's take what happened to Ryan at the coffee shop. As he approached the counter, think about it. As he approached the counter, he noticed the barista. He noticed that they were engaged in the conversation. So what did he do? He popped his earbuds out. She had his attention. So while he waited for that cup of coffee that he was going to enjoy, while he waited for his plane, he had an encounter with a barista named Lily. And that changed him. How do I know? Because he made that part of his speech. Ryan is an inspirational speaker. And by the way, he described that speech to us in the video. Now, there have been scientific studies done that tell us that when someone smiles at you, that you there's a change in you. And the reason is because usually when someone smiles at you, what do? You smile back. That triggers some things in your mind and chemically within you. So that changes your outlook. So it said, and then I found an anonymous quote which said, "Don't shine so others can see you. Shine so that through you others can see him." Don't shine so others can see you. Shine so that through you others can see him. That's kind of neat when you think about it, because how many times do we always want to think, oh, I did something good. Did you do it for you or did you do it for God? And this is one of those examples. As Ryan went from watching the lady in front of him to becoming a customer, getting all the attention, he felt himself become more at ease. Lily was so nice to him and showed him so much personal attention that Ryan started looking around for a camera. He thought, how could this be? He thought someone was pranking him. So he started looking. As she made an effort to get to know Ryan, he started feeling more and more special. She delivered excellent customer service. She created an environment that allowed Ryan to lower his defenses. Dr. Ben Carson once said, "Do your best and let God do the rest." Do your best and let God do the rest. That's pretty cool. As Christians, we want others to see Christ in us. That is something you desire. And if that is something that you desire, then you need to portray Christ in your daily life. So if you really, truly want people to see Christ in you, then you need to start portraying that. How many times in our life do we do things that obviously is not something Christ would do? In the beginning, as you start to portray Christ in your life, most non-believers won't even be able to put their finger on it. They'll just know there's something different about you. How can you tell when people see a difference in you? Let me list you a few ways. First, you'll notice that people catch themselves and apologize when they swear or they make off-color comments around you. If you're already doing this and you're already knowing this, you notice people do this when you're around, then you know you're on the right track. They see you bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And in Galatians 5, 22, verse 22 through 26, thanks, Coop. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." There's that self-control part. "Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." People are very aware of others who bear the fruits. Whether they admit it or not, they look up to you. Second, people will mention how they see things that you do and or how good your children are. In Matthew 7, 18 through 20, it says, a healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. People recognize good, even if they themselves are full of evil. They will recognize your fruits. The demons recognize the fruits. They recognize when they were cast out that they had no control. Evil people are the same way. They'll recognize that. Thirdly, people navigate towards you to talk when they're struggling with an issue. Why? Because they feel safe around you. They know they can trust you. They know you'll be gentle. They know that you will give them grace. To have a serious conversation with some people, you need to gain a certain level of trust. They know you will listen and not judge. Have you ever gone through something difficult in your life? Do you remember the people who supported you? Was it because they just said the right thing? Or was it because they showed up? When I worked at Dow Chemical, people didn't congregate around my cubicle. Where I worked at, there was like 100 different cubicles. It was a large floor, but it was wide open. So there was a lot of noise. You could hear things. When we first started, our cubicles were about this tall, so it was just so noisy. Then they raised the cubicles. When they raised the cubicles was when I noticed the difference. If they wanted to tell off-color jokes, if they wanted to talk about their adventures at the bar, or if they just wanted to gossip, they usually went somewhere else. They didn't come over to my side of the floor. But when they were struggling, when they wanted a little pick-me-up, when they just wanted some light conversation with a smile, they knew I'd show up for them. It's good when you know that happens. People come to you in their time of need, whether it's something small or whether it's something big. If we want to truly be a blessing in someone's life or to be able to share the gospel with someone, we need to consistently show them our best. In the video, Lily said, I'm pouring happiness into people's lives. Are you pouring happiness into people's lives? Are you being intentional? Are you focusing on being helpful? How are you choosing to show up? And if you are showing up, are you showing up consistently? God has called us to show up and to be a light in a dark world. You won't always have the right answers, and most of the time, you'll have no idea what to say or do, but just show up. God will give you the words as he sees fit when the time comes. But just be there for people, especially in the difficult moments. That is the kind of love that'll flip the world upside down. We, the church, can be the bright light in the dark world by showing up, and the world will take notice, and God will be glorified. Last week, I was reading a devotional by Lois Evans. She's the wife of Pastor Tony Evans. And she was telling a story of some of her friends that like to feed birds going to the beach. Now, the first thing I saw when I started reading this was little wrens. They're feeding little wrens, right? They're at the beach. They're the sea rats that they're feeding. And once I got that picture in my head, it was hard to get off, so I just took myself back to the little wrens because they're kind of cute. But she was telling the story of her friends, and they like to feed the birds on the beach. And on occasion, a large flock of birds gathered. And the couple brought their food out, and they started feeding them. Well, the birds ate, and when they were done, they left. They went back to the beach chairs and just relaxed, took in the sun. A little later, they got up to feed the birds again. And again, the birds returned for food, ate what they wanted, and left. But in between the feedings, they noticed there was this one little bird. And this is why I went to the little wrens. Okay? There's nothing more annoying than a seagull stalking you. But in between the feedings, they noticed that one little bird remained behind when the others left. They gave this little bird more food. The more food they gave him, the closer he stayed to them. This went on all day. Every time they turned around, they saw this little bird waiting patiently for more food. And they did not disappoint. What a wonderful picture of hunger we have that we should have for God. The psalmist used the image of a timid, thirsty animal to depict the intensity of desire we should have for God. Coop, you want to put that verse up for me? Thanks, buddy. In Psalm 42:1, it says, as a deer pants for flowing streams. Oh, that one's not there. Just trust me on this one. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. Now, when James covered this, he said, draw near to God, and he will draw near to us. I'm sure he was referring back to that verse. But when we draw near to God, he satisfies our thirst with water of life and feeds us with living bread. Now, when that happens, begins to happen in our lives, people begin to wonder how we can have so much peace, joy, and contentment in our hearts. The answer will be that we've learned to stay close to God, that we are a lamp that was put on a lampstand to light the room. Now, sometimes, more frequently than we would like, we may be the person needing the blessing as opposed to being the blessing. It's hard to receive a blessing if you aren't willing to get close and stay close to the one who is blessing you. And that doesn't mean the person who's blessing you. It means close to God. It's so easy for us to get caught up in day-to-day life when things are going good. But we need to stay close to God. I found a quote by the great theologian, Jim Henson. And he said, kids don't remember what you try to teach them. They remember what you are. They remember what you are. It's kind of interesting. So what are you? Are you a light on the light stand that lights the room? Or are you the light that is placed under a basket? What will others remember about what you are? How will they remember you? As we close today's message, I have a question for you. Actually, I have a bunch of questions for you. So we'll have a quiz afterwards, so pay attention. Are you going to leave today and forget what you heard or go about life as usual? How many times do you leave the church and forget what you just heard? And just go back to what you're doing. You just check the box and you go on. Are you going to leave today and forget what you heard or go back to life as usual? Or are you going to draw closer to God and start being the light in your community? When was the last time you had an opportunity to show up for someone? Did you do it? If you did you follow through? If you didn't, why not? Why would you show up for them once and just let them go? When you're teaching someone to ride a bike, you don't just hold it one time and then just let them take off. You go back again and you hold it again. You go back again. And you hold it again. Why did you leave an opportunity to be a blessing and show God's love, his mercy? How will you show up next time you get a chance? When you get the opportunity, don't just walk with Jesus. Let him take you on an adventure. You never know when someone needs you to be your best. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for being present today. Thank you for sending your son to the earth to live a perfect life, to be a living example of the fruits of the Spirit, and to show us how we should live. Jesus, we thank you for dying on the cross for our sins so that we could have eternal life in heaven with you. We thank you for showing up for us when we needed you the most. I pray, Lord, that we not only hear your words today, but we'll put them into practice. I pray that we can be the light of our community that our community so desperately needs, and that we are the best when someone needs us, that we are the light you want. to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.